good singing all the way around. Tomorrow it's back working day, so I'm going to try to take my time so you don't have to go to work so quick. Yeah, that's just stupid. That ain't going to matter one way or the other on that and all that. Yeah, I'm glad Jackson made it. He's been needing some rest, and this is a good place to get it right here. Yeah. All right, let me see if I can get this button here turned on. How's that right there? Is that it? No, sir. I cut it back off. Huh. Ain't that something? How about that? How's that doing? Good enough. Thank you very much. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking tonight in chapter there in the book of Romans. And look in Romans in chapter number 1. If you find the place and you're able to, we'll stand up and read here in a moment. But in the book of Romans in chapter number 1. And you find the place there. And let's look at about verse number 18. And the Bible said, and talking about the Lord Jesus and about the gospel and about his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the resurrected Christ. In verse 17, he said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that they which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that whenever they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of God into an uncorruptible God, to an image made like unto a corruptible man, and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping thing. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and they serve the Creator more than the creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, and working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was mean. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, and inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, and covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Now, Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be once again in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation, and we'll thank you and praise you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on a sermon entitled, "Having a Queer Experience Does Not Make You a Queer." As you look into that Bible passage there, you're going to be able to find out that we're going to show you the difference between somebody that's had a relationship that they shouldn't have, and somebody, you know, that no doubt that would be plagued with them. Now, by the way, I don't suspicion anybody here in this building at all. You know, you got to be sure that you try to stay in tune with God. We just got through having Christmas and Easter. And not Easter. We ain't had Easter. Who said, y'all don't know about Easter no more than I do. I mean, that's what you get for thinking about picking up eggs and stuff like that. Now, I appreciate it. Sometimes I amen stuff I don't even know either. Let me just say to you that, if you will, that it's just good to be able to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And you never know whenever God's going to use one of you. You know, I've had people that I had to stop and help along the way in life that hated my guts. And boy, then they'd get real humble. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you was able to come by. You know, you got to be careful. The next person that you go to despising may be the very one God uses to help you along the way in life. And this Bible lesson that we're looking at and all that, and of course I realize and know that you're probably thinking, who was it? Who was it and all that? $100, I'll tell you. That's not important. That's just important that we know that, hey, listen, no man lives or dies unto himself. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, is it amazing that whenever you look in verse number 16, whenever the apostle said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth." Do you believe it? To the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein, talking about the gospel, therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, in this lesson here that we're looking at, let me tell you, the call of God is mentioned. Isn't that something? Let me tell you, when God comes knocking on your heart's door, you ought to respond to him in the affirmative, and you ought to receive him in the free pardon of sin. Not only does God call people in, but he convicts them of their need for Christ. That's a personal thing that you can't get from anybody else. It's a personal thing between you and God that he's going to have to make known. It's you that I've come knocking on your heart's door about, and to receive you into the family of God. And then when he does, there'll be a conversion, and the converting power of God will change you, and as a result of that, will save you and put you in the family of God. I got to say to you, that ought to be a real concern of everybody here in this building. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your family. I'm concerned about these little boys and girls that are growing up, and that right now they don't have a clue what's going on, except they're just ready to go ahead and get their next piece of candy or whatever, go catch their next fish, be able to hunt their next deer. But someday God's going to come knocking on their heart's door, and they're going to need to know why that knock is there. In this lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said that in verse number 18 that we read, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And he said, of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Have you ever noticed in the day and hour that we're living in, there's many people, you know, that are just working by whatever they conjured up or whatever they heard from somebody else? Let me tell you, one of the old cliches, and somebody may die along the way, you know, and they'll say something like this here, something stupid. And they'll say, well, I'll tell you one thing. If they're not in heaven, we needn't try it. I'm not trying to go to heaven. I want you to know that. I'm saved by the grace of God, and I'm hell-proof, and I'm heaven-bound because that one day God came knocking on my heart and called me into the family of God. That's what it amounts to. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out that the wrath of God, he said, there is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Notice another thing that, if you will, please, that in the passage there, whenever verse 19, the reason people get to the place to where they're past the point of no return, God ain't going to mess with them anymore, is because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now, you know, if God keeps showing you your need for Christ, keeps knocking upon your heart's door, keeps drawing at you, then you're not in ignorance any longer about it. And as a result of that, you're getting on dangerous ground. I want to say to you that, if you will, the invisible things of God, they are seen from the creation of the world, clearly seen, and so forth and on. The eternal God head, he said, so that they're without excuse. No excuse is going to be standing before the Lord. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at here, you'll find that God's talking about an eternal power. And then he gets down there in verse number 21, and this is the reason they're queers that are in the world. The reason there's queers, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I got to tell you right now, you and I have got family, we've got friends and all that business there. And as a result of that, you're going to find that many of them passed the point of no return a long time ago. Now, they may not be queers, but they're so cold and so callous and so hard-hearted, they want nothing at all to do with God. They don't realize and know that they're headed to the same hell that the other ones are, is because of the fact they do not know him. When they heard about him, they didn't care about him, they didn't like him, and as a result of it, they put themselves in a foolish place. And the Bible said, verse 22, professing themselves to be wives, they became fools. And let me tell you, is that when you go to changing God's word around to be able to suit you, when you go to changing things up so that it might be able to exalt and magnify you, then you're getting in and slipping in on dangerous ground. Now, notice in verse 24, whenever God gave them up, you know what makes a person become a queer? God gives them up. God gives them up through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, how do they do that? Who changed the truth of God into a lie? And they worship and serve the creature more than they did the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. I'll tell you right now, when somebody talks about, well, you know, I know some nice queers, God said they've got vile affections. When you're a man and you want to follow another man and you want to lust after another man, that's a vile affection in the Bible. If you're a woman and you want to follow after and think about and pursue after another woman, that's a vile affection. Now, by the way, that whenever you look into it, is that you're going to find out that in verse number 27, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. In other words, it's natural for a man to be able to want a woman, to have a girlfriend, finally one day maybe get married. That's a natural thing. It's natural for a woman to want a man to be able to finally pursue her and to win her heart and to be able to, if nothing else, to realize and know that, hey, there's the opposite sex, and as a result of that, I'd like to be able to have holy matrimony with this gal, so forth and on. Let me say to you that, if you will, but the Bible says, But in verse 27, likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust toward one toward another. Look at that. Men with men, see that? Worketh that which is unseemly and receiving that which is unseemly and receiving it in themselves, that recompense of their error, which was me. Now, watch this here. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, by the way, whenever you begin to look into it, these passages that we've just read, you're going to run upon somebody one of these days. Hopefully it's not you, but if it is, we hope that you are not going farther than that. But one of these days, you're going to run upon somebody feels real bad about the fact that they kissed somebody of the same sex. It's awful quiet now. I mean, I wasn't fixing to call your name or nothing, but I don't think we have that problem, but in case you run upon that, just because of the fact you've kissed somebody of the like sex, I have not. Just because you have kissed somebody of the same sex, two men kissing, that doesn't make them queer. But it sure is putting them on the road to it. Yes, sir. Two women, you know, kissing. That's a big thing now, you know. All the TV and some of the commercials that they'll have and this and that and all that business there. And you're thinking, my, that's a pretty good looking gal. How come she's kissing that other gal? And sometimes, you know, can you imagine anybody that'd want to kiss that Ellen degenerate? Huh? I mean, out of all the women that are in the world that you could be hugging and kissing on, kiss a queer like that? Now, let me just say to you that, if you will, that just because that two gals kissed doesn't make them queer. What does make them queer? When they get to the place where they burn in their lust toward that same sex, they're crossing the line. When they get to the place where they got to have that same sex relationship. And that's what makes them queer. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. God made male, God made female. God intended that they be united in holy matrimony and that they produce an offspring. See? As a result of that, you're going to be able to find out that you'll find that God finally said he gave them up and he gave them over to a reprobate mind. And you know why, don't you? Because your mind's all messed up whenever you're wanting that kind of thing to be going on. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out the Bible said they were being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters of evil things, disobedient to parents. And hey, by the way, did you catch that? You boys and girls, you know, that despise your mama or your daddy telling you anything, and you want to be disobedient to your parents, you better be careful. It kind of follows along with that, doesn't it? Without understanding, covenant breakers, and without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. Now, I want to tell you right now is that in this lesson that we're looking at, while you turn over there in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 14, I'll give you a moment to find it, is that you'll find out that sodomites. Now, in this Bible there, whenever you look in chapter number 14 of the book of, in the book of 1 Kings, in chapter number 14, as we look there in that lesson, and it's in about verse number 24, and the Bible says, and there were sodomites in the land. Now, you know what a sodomite is? That's a queer. Sodomites were in the land, and they were according to the abomination of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. I got to tell you right now is that you'll find out they got down there. They even got to where they were close down there at the house of God. And in chapter number 15, in verse number 12, a man by the name of Asa, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, like David his father. And he said in verse 12, and he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. I got to tell you that sodomy and idolatry go together. Why do you think that in the Roman Catholic Church there's so much sodomy that's being exposed and that goes on there? I got to say that sodomy and idolatry. Now, I use the word, and every now and again somebody says, I had a man ask me one time, now what is a sodomite? I said, it's queer. See? Oh. So they didn't dare, you know, argue about it. They just didn't know. In 1 Kings chapter number 22, looking about verse number 46, in chapter number 22 and about verse number 46, in the Bible passage that you're looking at that's there, he says, and the remnant of the sodomites which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. You know, our children ought to be passed down to knowledge to knowledge to knowledge how God feels about sodomy and sodomites. In this lesson that you're looking at, in 2 Kings in chapter number 23, and as we look into that, by the way, you're going to be able to find out and realize in verse number 7, if I read, yes. And the Bible says, and he break down the houses of the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where women wove hangings for the grove. Now, I can tell you right now, buddy, you talk about people in the day and hour that we're living in, there ain't nothing that this godless and this wicked world likes more than trying to be identified with the body of Christ, whom they so vividly despise and distrust. Let me say to you that, if you will, please, that's why God over there in our text that we've read in the book of Romans said that they were given over to look vile affections. When a man is going after another man with lust in his heart, that's a vile affection. When a woman is going after another woman, that's a vile affection. Now, there's not anybody that these sodomites, queers, if you please, men or women, they ain't nothing they'd like better than to see one of my kids turn queer. I'm not I'm not worried about that at this given point in time, but let me just say to you that anybody that's connected with you, that's God-fearing, that loves God, that loves the Bible, they don't care. They're after you one way or the other, or after your children. You know what they end up doing? Is that the day and hour that we're living in, if you preach on something that God's given in the Bible, they either think you're a racist or think you're unloving or think you're unkind. So they just load up and they go somewhere else. I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a vile affection, I don't care where you carry it, it'll always be that. Until one of these days, you'll stand before the Lord. Let me tell you how you can tell it, is that whenever a person has lust in their heart, lust in their mind, lust in their life for a person of the same sex. See that? That's a vile affection. Vile affection. I've told some of you in days gone by, you know, that, and, you know, not every time, not everybody that has to sleep in the same bed or whatever is queer. I've slept in the same bed with Brother Ron. Because he wouldn't sleep with Brother Darrell. Brother Darrell's the kind of man that would rub his pillow, rub Brother Ron's while he's in there getting cleaned up for ready for bed. He'd take Brother Ron's pillow and rub it on his behind and then lay it down there and fluff it and all that. Brother Ron would come in without a word being said, jerk that pillowcase off, and he brings his own clean pillowcase with him. We're not talking about that right there. I have slept with Brother Darrell a time or two, but I ain't never wanted to kiss either one of them. Plus, I ain't wanted to go back and sleep with them no more. I told you about the time that we had went down there deep sea fishing there, and I was laying there looking at Brother Darrell was in a bed next to me. Brother Ron was in the other side of the bed. I'm trying to hang on, keep from falling off. And all of a sudden, you know, it gets enough light, and all I can see over there on Brother Darrell's side is a big nipple. He wasn't sleeping with his shirt on. We'd been gone a day or two, and I thought, my Lord, I wish I was home. So I know there's some awkward things that happen up and down the road of life. We're not talking about that. But when you get to your place where your desire, your lust is after the same gender, you're crossing the line. I want to say in closing that if you will, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of the family of God, to be saved by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God. And it's good to be able to know Him in the free pardon of sin. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for loving us.